Last time on Our Worlds Are in Danger.
Cyclonus was attacked by a feral gang of Bakugan.
Unicron started charging a ball of ki, which would continue for several episodes.
And Wheeljack tried to give Scavenger an intimidatingly strong handshake, which went entirely unnoticed. I'm Waz.
And I'm Jolene.
And we want to tell you about the Transformers. You're listening to Our Worlds Are in Danger, a podcast where we travel back 20 years to look at Transformers Armada and Micron Legend, the two versions of the anime that remitted Transformers for a new generation of kids.
So I've got a new friend.
You got a new friend?
Yeah.
Why didn't you introduce them?
His name is Wheeljack, though from listening to certain people online you wouldn't know that.
Because people call him Rampage?
Sure, yeah. Yes, exactly. No, I am of course talking about Rise of the Beasts. Wheeljack, who is a funny little guy. He's Urkel. And he's not bad. This is the studio series version, which I have read some people say, like, isn't really enough of an improvement over the mainline version to justify the price point. But I did want the one that turned into an actual VW, so I didn't buy the mainline version.
No, that's fair. I mean, I haven't handled, like, I think any of the Rise of the Beast figures. I was definitely, like, on the fence about sort of picking some up. I think like the mainline Airazor in particular looked just like a really good toy. I think just the mainline was kind of, it looked like it was doing really well. It was producing like good quality deluxes kind of that we haven't really seen of that style, I would say, for like, there was a period where we weren't seeing that style, I guess is what I would say. And just the delays on the film itself and stuff clearly messed up the studio series like versus mainline release pipeline. But I think like Wheeljack is one of the cases where, you know, they weren't on shelves at the same time. This is it. Wheeljack's like new out now. And the mainline toy was like, during the first wave or whatever.
Yeah, on shelves when the film was actually coming out, more or less.
But yeah, it's unfortunate, I think, that there is that sort of redundancy, I guess, the overlap. But hey, just buy the version that you like. That's how it works.
Yeah. And I mean, I think he's pretty cool. He's basically, all of his joints are a bit stiff, and because of the way his shoulders work, they're kind of, the articulation's weird. It's hard to get him into the right poses. The transformation is, it's like, you have to like do a bunch of steps, then move something else, and then undo the step you did before, so that like things like unfold over each other.
Right.
It's weird. I haven't, he only arrived today, so I haven't had a chance to like properly,
yeah, get comfortable with it, so it's like just muscle memory, I guess. Have you have like a lot of studio series figures? Have you like had any of those in the past, or is it like first one?
I've got the Bumblebee movie, Blitzwing, Bumblebee, and Optimus Prime. Oh, and RC.
Right.
Oh, and I've got a Dark of the Moon Megatron.
Sick.
who's not a great toy, but it is a really cool design. So, yeah. It's kind of like in line with the other studio series I put. He's quite compact. He's not very big. And I think that's because they've just compressed so much mass down into a very small volume. I do like that he's got articulated suspenders. If you unplug his chest, then the like suspenders can wiggle out from his midriff.
Right.
I don't understand why they've done this, because I don't believe it serves any particular purpose in the transformation. But it is very funny.
And sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah. I was also surprised to realise that the very bottom of his chest does actually have real kibble on it and not fake kibble, because, like, the Volkswagen hood, like, plugs down over his chest, but then it, like, the bumpers on his midriff do actually become the real ones.
Oh, right.
That's fun.
Mm.
And I think it is very funny that on one side of his vehicle mode it says TV Pablo, and on the other it says TV put Ablo, because it's split over two separate like vehicle panels because of the transformation. And that's very good to me. And that is my review of Rise of the Beasts Wheeljack. He's all right. He's got the funny face that looks like the
God, is he Skylar is it just
White
like
Yo guy?
Is it just like peeking out in the vehicle mode, like out the front? I'm looking at JPEGs online.
Fortunately, like I think the sort of like folded up vehicle mass inside there and the smoky windows do enough to hide it.
Mm-mm.
Like, you wouldn't see it unless you're specifically looking for it. He's also got, like, a smoky plastic transparent gun, which is weird but cool.
Yeah, I mean, that looks like a legacy weapon. What's it doing?
Yeah, now? It's... Well, the thing is, I don't think he used... Wait, didn't he have, like, arm cannons in the movie?
No? Did he?
Like, during the standoff?
I'll be honest, I don't remember him doing anything.
I remember he got knocked over in the creek.
Sure.
Anyway, he's got a gun because he needs to have some sort of accessories, otherwise he would have felt just completely...
It's for the kids, yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So, why don't we stop talking about this Wheeljack and start seeing if we can find anything to say about another Wheeljack?
Oof, I mean, unlikely, but we can try, I guess.
This week, Wads watched episode 50 of Transformers Armada, Union, first broadcast in the UK on October the 1st of 2003, and in the US on December the 10th of 2003. I watched episode 50 of Micron Legend, Soryokusen, I'm definitely mispronouncing that, first broadcast on December the 12th of 2003. This episode was written by Shoji Tonoike, directed by Kenichi Ishikura, and adapted into English by Ward Perry. Unicron looms in space, the energy that courses around his body destroying any Autobot or Decepticon ships that come close. Standing on the Titanic robot's shoulder, Thrust sings the praises of his new master, while seething over how Sideways unceremoniously dismissed him. Aboard the Combined Fleet's flagship, Demolishor explains that their scouting mission revealed no weaknesses in Unicron's impenetrable armour, but when Unicron starts moving towards Cybertron, Hotshot and Wheeljack take off in small fighters regardless, unwilling to sit by as their homeworld is destroyed. Unable to damage Unicron, the attack ships focus fire on Thrust instead, forcing the treacherous tactician to take cover. Aboard the flagship, further analysis has revealed that Unicron's energy is weaker at his neck. The attackers withdraw to rendezvous with the fleet, and Thrust implores Unicron to take the opportunity to strike, but the giant does not respond, and Thrust begins to wonder if everything he's done has been for nothing, though he quickly dismisses such thoughts. Though Galvatron wishes the fleet to launch an assault, Optimus believes that they must attack from inside Unicron. The human kids ask them to rescue the Minicons that form the three legendary weapons, which Galvatron and Optimus conclude will depower Unicron. The two commanders take off just as Unicron begins firing a beam from its chest that starts to rip the surface of Cybertron apart. Hotshot, having been left in command of the fleet, has Sideswipe position the Hydra Cannon in the path of the beam, using its shield to block it. While Optimus targets the gap in Unicron's armour created by the chest cannon, Galvatron confronts Thrust, who rants about his former leader's weakness and the pointlessness of the Transformers' conflict in the face of Unicron. But when he dodges an attack from Galvatron, Thrust falls into a crack in Unicron's surface and begins to be crushed by the shifting machinery. He begs for help, but Unicron is impassive and Galvatron is unimpressed, leaving Thrust to be crushed to death for his treachery. The Hydra Cannon's shields give way, and Unicron's blast heads towards Cybertron once more, only for the dormant Minicons to block the shot. Optimus and Galvatron take the opportunity to enter Unicron's body, but the kids and Street Action Minicons have had enough of sitting on the sidelines and intend to go along and help. Red Alert helps the group reach the underground warp gate, while the Minicons form themselves into a giant mirror of Unicron and holds the Planet Destroyer back from destroying the Axelon. But the force of their battle causes the tunnels to collapse on Red Alert as he helps the kids escape through the portal. Fighting off an army of dead-end drones, Optimus Prime and Megatron head for Unicron's core, while Hotshot leads the fleet in an assault on the Dark Giant. The final battle has begun. So, not a fan of this one?
No, I think it's fine. I think it's very Star Wars.
It is. They do detect the single weak point that's a small exhaust port.
Yeah, it's like, oh, his neck is his weak point? That's crazy. That's like, that's so like thematically rich, you know? I really like, now that you say it, it makes so much sense.
And the weird thing, it doesn't actually particularly seem like it is, because... They mention that, and then it doesn't really come up again?
Well, at the end of the episode, the various Autobots and Decepticons, aside from, you know, those who are venturing inside Unicron, they all go in their ships to target Unicron, and Hotshot has the line, "Come on, let's give Unicron a real pain in the neck." And it's like, okay, so he's gonna shoot the neck. Got it.
Yeah,
So I think that's it. You know, is that in the Japanese, or is that just something that the dub writers added?
I mean, the neck is the weak point thing is relevant, but like, I guess I was kind of expecting us to see some sort of payoff on the neck thing within this episode.
Yeah, I think that's next episode is going to be the payoff.
Probably.
Maybe. Now that I say it, I'm doubting myself, but we'll see.
But moving back from the end of the episode to the start of it, God, I love Thrust.
Yeah.
He rules. Just such a dipshit of a guy.
This episode is like all the appeal is with the Thrust stuff. I think it's like such a good idea to, you know, give him a position of prominence at this point before sort of clearing him out of the way in advance of, you know, the actual like final two episodes of the show.
This is the Thrust episode, I think. Like we've already had the episode where Thrust became Squid Head. This is the episode where Thrust became Squid Dead.
This is I think just the one we see him like at his most honest, you know, and that's
something
to that. So yeah, he's basically just sort of grousing because we like flash back to the bit where Sideways like stabbed Unicron with the Star Saber, and Sideways is like, "Oh, cool, yeah, thanks, man, thanks for bringing me the sword. Now just fuck off, please, just get out of here."
Yeah,
like, and Frost is like, "Oh, what?" He's like, "Yeah, just leave. You're done. Actually, you're in the way now." So
yeah, it's pretty good. And then like, he sits up on Unicron's shoulder and basically just spends the entire time, like, toadying up to Unicron and going, "Oh, Unicron, you're so magnificent. Now let us destroy these puny creatures." And it doesn't actually seem that Unicron is even aware that he exists.
No, 100%. Yeah.
It's really good.
It's great.
As he toadies, we do cut to the inside of the Autobot ship, and the human kids once again are told they can't do anything.
Yeah, and like Carlos is has a very strong reaction to this, I guess, is how I'll phrase it in the English dub, to the point where for some reason he says "what a" and then uses a verb derived from a slur for Romani people. So really, no idea where that came from, Carlos, but sure.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Matt Hill like, "You can't speak like that, white baby."
This is literally within the first like 2 minutes of the episode. I don't know. It's like, it made this show in 2003. I think people should have known. But
yeah. But Demolisher says, "Yeah, so Blackout, he went and like scanned Unicron's armor. Turns out it's completely impervious to all damage and he has no weak points." And then Unicron starts moving to, but not towards the fleet. He's moving towards Cybertron. So Hotshots and Wheeljack run off to take some ships out and attack Unicron, and it's like, what are you hoping to accomplish here? Sorry?
I honestly just like can't get over the fact that they're just bros again, you know? After the whole thing in the last time they sort of cross paths where it's like, oh no, Wheeljack's on the bad guy team again and he's evil. It's like, and then here it's literally just like nothing has happened. They're just complete pals.
I guess sort of the reconciliation for that was meant to be the Starscream sacrifice, you know, like,
yeah, maybe
like Wheeljack's going back to the Decepticons was kind of like secondary to Starscream going back to the Decepticons, and then Starscream goes and gets himself killed and the Autobots and Decepticons are together again. Yay. So yeah, that I still think that Wheeljack has just been an utter waste of a character, but I guess by this point I'm kind of like resigned to it.
Yeah, we know what to expect from it. It's just this, like,
yeah.
But yeah, all these, you know, fighters are flying over the surface of Unicron and like doing these strafing runs, and Thrust is basically there and he's under fire, and he just begs Unicron to blast them and get rid of them. He's like, "My skin isn't as thick as yours," like, which
he's
really
got
like
a really good line in the Japanese version, which I will read to you verbatim. "Lord Unicron, while I'm still in awe of your gigantic form, I'm currently in danger. Please let me hide behind your magnificent mosquito net."
Oh my
mosquito
God.
Net? "I've discovered yet another beautiful metaphor." Such a fucking dipshit. I love him. He's just the worst guy.
But yeah, but what I love in particular, I think, is that like Wheeljack basically spots him down there specifically. It's like, wait, Thrust is down there. Let's fucking kill him. And then and Hotshot's like, "All units, fire on Thrust. We're just going to fucking wipe him out."
I mean, to be fair, it's not like They've already been told that Unicron can't be damaged, so they might as well focus on the guy that they actually can hurt. I mentioned, like, how Unicron isn't aware of Thrust's existence. I do like how just, like, completely impassive his face is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a person, he's just a thing. It's really cool. I love how Unicron is presented in this, because he's, like, you do get the sense that he's just completely unknowable.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, he has a bit in this episode where he does, like, do a kind of a scream, I guess, and at least in the dub, it's very, just a weird voice, a weird voice for him. Don't know how to describe it.
Mm.
Presumably it wasn't, like, a part or anything, it was just one of the voice actors who they had on hand did a scream.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know, I just, yeah, like, on the one hand, I think the like, acting of Unicron is good, but just in terms of how he, like, all looks and stuff, I don't know that it quite works for me, like, particularly, I just can't get over the big planet half kibble that's, like, on his back throughout this episode. It's very, like, toy accurate to have it drawn on there, but I think for the toy, you're basically just supposed to kind of remove it and let the wings be the actual, like, design silhouette, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't bother me.
Okay.
I think, like, I guess it works for, like, how it kind of, like, suggests, like, still that he's, like, hatched out of this planet mode.
Yeah, I guess.
I like having the reminder on there.
I guess this is just, like, a very toy literalist episode in general, because you have, like, there's a whole sequence about his, like, chest cannon doing its thing, and then there's, like, a bit with his, like, leg missiles and this and that and the other, and I think it's, yeah, it's all very much, like, these are the features of this toy.
Yeah. And it is pretty cool when he uses the big chest cannon.
No, totally. It's like the kind of thing that you don't know exactly what it is that's going on. It's like, oh no, his like chest doors are opening. That's gotta be bad, right? There's gotta be something in there, like.
Yeah. So after the Autobots and Decepticons detect the weak point on Unicron's neck.
Yeah, I mean, there's a weird thing there where, like, Demolishaw is the one who identifies the weak point, but he, like, in the dub throughout this entire episode, Demolishaw, like, speaks with Hoist's voice, I think, is what I've read. It's definitely not his voice, and Prime addresses him as Hoist in dialogue. So,
bizarre. Yeah.
Like, is it meant to be Demolishaw who identifies the weak point, or is it, I presume it's meant to be Hoist is what's in the script, and then they just animated it wrong for some reason? I think that's the simple explanation.
I would assume there has to be, because in the Japanese, like, Ironhide / Demolishaw is the one who says, okay, here's what Search has identified. I'll keep hunting for an answer. And Hotshot says, we'll leave it up to you, Demolishaw.
Right, okay. Yeah, okay, that's pretty cut and dry then. So clearly, was there any use of Hoist in the script at all? Like, could they have...
I don't think so. Hoist briefly shows up in one of the spaceships and that's it.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know. But after this, I do think there's a bit of a misstep with the Thrust stuff.
Yeah.
Where he basically just says out loud, oh, I've made a mistake. Unicron is just a big, lifeless transformer. He's not paying attention to me at all. And I think that was maybe a misstep, because I did love, like, the framing showing how pathetic he was. And I think having him say so out loud kind of diminishes it. But then we do get the bit where he, like, goes... Actually, no, everything's fine, I'm fine, and Unicron is listening to me, and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, it's fine.
I think that, like, for me, I didn't really see it as being a problem anyway. I think for me, it basically worked. Maybe it's the difference in just the dub performance or whatever it is that sells it, because it's just great stuff throughout, but... Yeah, I think I like the way he's like, what if Unicron's nothing more than a huge transformer like the rest of us? Oh, did Sideways trick me into doing all this? Like, it's...
Yeah,
I don't know, it plays into the themes, I think, a little bit.
I don't think it was bad in its own right. I was just a bit disappointed because I had just been thinking about, oh, I really like how almost subtle this is. Just like, they're just showing how rubbish Thrust is in the form of him just, like, cozying up to Unicron. and Unicron just ignoring him completely.
But I think this way is just more real to me. I think because he's not an idiot ultimately. Like, he is an idiot, but it's like he's like following specific interests, and he's allowing like the extreme like value he puts on like power and this kind of thing to blind him. But he is otherwise like smart, and when it's sort of just been him like at this point on his own, like he hasn't had anyone to talk to or anything, and he's just like obviously like he's starting to feel doubts about his plan when it's just like it's not coming out the way he imagined it or whatever. And I do like the way that he then, you know, he has this like bit where it's all falling apart, and he just is like from the rest of the episode like scrambling to like, you know, as you say, like it's fine, like reach some level where he can kind of get anything out of it and like claw some personal agency back. And you see that from how he like stands up against like Galvatron, for instance, and you know it's not working out for him, but by that point he's like, the plan has gone out the window. You know, he's acting strictly on emotion from this point.
Yeah, okay, you've convinced me. I do just want to say, like, in, like, Thrust's rants where he goes, like, no, I was definitely right this entire time. I think, like, the animators were having a lot of fun, like, animating this, like, spinning shot around him.
Yeah, I mean, the animators seem to love Thrust in this episode particularly.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've remarked before on how much expression he managed to get out of his, like, you know, static head sculpt
that
he has.
Stupid squid head.
And here it's like it's incredible, like the actual like range of emotion that they display on that face. I think
yeah, really a high point of
like it's not just like a case of like stretching the proportions and like his body language, his movements. It's like the angle they use with how it frames the brow. It's like the shading on like his eyes and stuff like that at times creates these like very different moods, I think. And yeah, it just rules to look at. Like
yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, Prime and the kids and everyone, they've all made a plan to go fight Unicron from the inside somehow? Question marks.
They are going inside specifically to rescue the Minicon weapons, is what the kids want.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's very funny that they consistently refer to in the Japanese Mahatachi, so like Mac and the others, or Jetstorm and the others. It's like, why Jetstorm specifically? Did you, like, befriend him off screen?
Well, he's, like, the main one. He's the leader.
Is he?
Yeah. In the Dreamwave comics.
No, Runway's the leader.
Oh, it's Runway, isn't it? Yeah, what the hell? they like, swapped the names on, like, the packaging or something over as a kid, so I always, like, mix them up.
And they come to the conclusion of, like, oh, if it was the Minicon weapons that let Unicron wake up, maybe if we can get them back, he'll be depowered.
Yeah.
And Galvatron responds to this, at least in Japanese, with, oh, so that's why you were so intent on liberating the Minicons this entire time. I love just how consistently, even now, Galvatron just doesn't get it.
Yeah. I would say the English dub plays that line from him, like, entirely straight, I will say. He's like, oh, I understand now why you were so serious about freeing the Minicons. We actually need their help. And he's like, referring more to the idea of like the Minicons are going to help them fight Unicron from the inside in like a physical sense rather than just like this.
Right, okay.
It's an odd line. It seemed odd, like totally odd. I liked it, I think, because of its oddness and just the sort of different directions taken Galvatron's character in. But I don't know if that was necessarily the original intent of the line in Japanese from the sounds of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like plays for comedy, but like came across more as just like a subtler moment of characterization for me. So I think that Fred and Billy praising Optimus Prime and then having to backtrack on that and say, oh, and Megatron too, is one of the first good jokes they've had in the entire
series. Yeah, 100%.
It's really funny to me.
Yeah, no, I really like that. It's amazing what you can do if you do a joke that is about Fred being fat or about Billy just being a dick, I guess.
Yeah. And just Galvatron just thinks this is hilarious.
Yeah, I love his like good-natured laugh afterwards. He has that moment where he's like, "What?" is all he says in the dub, and he's like, "Oh yeah, and you're really the greatest too, Galvatron." And yeah, he's just very tickled by it.
Yeah. Unicron gets his tits out.
Yeah. He's charging up a big shot. Ooh, what's he gonna do? What's it gonna be? Shrugging.
At this point in the Japanese version of the episode, we do get, like, a commercial bumper, and there's a new one with, like, Unicron specifically, and it's, like, great, a new ad bumper just before the end of the series. I mean, sure, I get why you couldn't have done it before now, but...
Mm.
Yeah, he fires his big beam and Galvatron tells Optimus, okay, we've got to go now and get inside him while we have a chance.
Yeah. And then Prime, like, defers command to Hotshot. He's like, you're in charge. It's kind of a big moment.
Yeah, of the fleet specifically. But, like, yeah, I think that's cool.
I think it's, yeah, a progression of the arc. And I like that Galvatron, like, explicitly is, like, you know, inform the others that my troops are to listen to Hotshot or whatever it is. Like, he is very much just, like, he's on board with it. He, like, clearly has some level of respect for Hotshot, whatever it is, from, because, you know, obviously it was him who convinced Megatron in the first place that something was going on.
I feel like you can also, like, read it as, well, if I can't command them myself, then it doesn't really matter who commands them.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
In the Japanese, like, Thrust, like, is trying to process that Unicron's just destroyed part of his homeworld, and he's just, like, going, no, this isn't possible. this isn't happening. I love his just deranged laughing. It's really good. Just his complete breakdown in this episode, I think, is really strong.
Yeah, I mean, and... the dub kind of loses this aspect of it, I think, because in the dub, like, Thrust is very much just goading Unicron on the whole time. Like, he, like, against the fleet, against Cybertron, whatever. He doesn't, like, have a reaction to the destruction of Cybertron in particular. Like, that doesn't seem to affect him on an emotional level. It seems to be just that he is kind of realizes that the situation is like, out of his control at this point.
Mm. Yeah, that's a shame, because I think the derangement is good.
Yeah, he's like, soon Cybertron and the rest of the Transformers will be just a memory and I'll be free to do whatever I want in this great big universe. No one will ever boss me around again. Like, that's the level that we're offering on with dialogue here.
I think that also
It also works. Yeah, it's like 100%. But I think for me, I prefer the idea that he wanted to rule Cybertron, I guess, on some level. Or like, yeah, I don't know. The way that... No, see, now that I think about it, maybe I'm talking myself out of it. I like the way that he, like... wants to transcend the very idea of being a Transformer is something that the English dub in particular, like, really harps on. He's like,
yeah, that does come in later on in the Japanese version, so
I think that's really cool.
Unicron starts charging up his big gun again, and Hotshot sort of goes, Sideswipe, block that cannon, and it's like, Sideswipe goes, like, won't that kill me? No, of course not. He's just looking for any excuse to get rid of Sideswipe.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what this whole section was. They have, like, a shield or something? Like,
he does tell Sideswipe to put up the shield. And
it will form a barrier to stop that plasma burst, sure.
Yeah, and it does somehow work, despite the fact that the plasma burst previously took out a chunk of an entire planet.
Sure.
Optimus and Galvatron blast off. Here's the thing. Overload is a nothing character, but Magna Jet Convoy, Mega Weapon Jet Optimus does kick ass.
Yeah.
He is really cool.
That one bit of stock footage where the Overlord, like, combines with him is great. I love seeing it. Wish that there was any other footage for Overload at all.
yeah.
But that one bit is great. And I think just the way it is, that sort of the back-to-back stock footage of those two combinations and then seeing them, like, flying into space together, I think it's really nice. I don't know.
Yeah. Optimus kind of, like, disappears for a little bit while Galvatron goes to talk shit on Thrust.
Yeah. At this point, we have, like, the big, I would say, Thrust monologue, is how I would describe it. It's just... it's amazing. He's like, unlike you, I've learned to choose my allies wisely. What were you thinking, joining forces with Optimus Prime? He's your enemy, remember? Like, just so sarcastic. And then he goes into, like, ruminating on, like, you know, what was the point of this? All we did was fight one meaningless battle after another. And this kind
of... like, in Japanese he says, who cares about standing atop the Transformers? Who cares about conquering the universe? You can't do anything other than fight an endless war. And it's like, that's themes.
Yeah, 100%.
That's themes right there. I also like that Galvatron, like, says, on Starscream's behalf, you will pay for this.
Is that what he says in it? Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the dub, he just says, oh, you always did like the sound of your own voice, and then moves to take the shot. He's not, like, incensed at all by what Frost says, I think, in the dub, if that makes sense. He's just like, oh, you're just pathetic. Like, which I do like as an angle. I don't know.
Mm.
I think there's one bit I really like in first monologue. He's like comparing Megatron to Unicron. He's like, Unicron's completely different. He's enormous and totally invincible. And with someone like me to advise him on issues of importance, like which planets to devour and whose solar system to enslave, I see no reason why we shouldn't have a successful partnership. And it's just like, his vision of that is so quaint. It's so, like delusional. I don't know, I love it.
Yeah. Thrust rules.
Yeah.
Total dipshit.
Like, which planets that are? Like, does it fucking matter?
Yeah. And then Thrust jumps up, but then falls into a hole.
Yeah. Like, he goes to dodge a shot from Galvatron. I like that he's, like, able to do that, but then, yeah, he just stands on a spot of Unicron that just happens to be moving. It's just, like, a random joint. It's not even clear what it is, like, what purpose it serves. It's just part of the floor is, like, shifting and closing up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he just gets caught in there, and he's, like, immediately, like, on a dime, like, switches to begging Galvatron to save him. He didn't mean any of what he said, and it's like, no,
yeah.
No, too late.
Yeah, Galvatron offers, like, I'm not going to help you out, but I could just kill you here and now to make your death less painful. And Thrust goes, no. And so he dies by just being horribly crushed to death.
Yeah.
It rules.
The animation's insane. He, like, sort of puffs up like a balloon, I guess. He's all, like, squeezed up to the top.
Yeah, he's like a tube of toothpaste.
I was literally thinking, yeah, like...
yeah, it's a perfectly fitting end for just this complete dipshit of a guy.
Mm.
Just... He sells out everything he's known to side with a guy who doesn't even know he exists, and then gets killed because that guy stepped on him accidentally.
Yeah.
Honestly, one of my favourite characters in the show.
Yeah, no, I think so. He's really, like... I mean, there was a moment where I was kind of sick of his, like, every episode has just having that scene where he's like, ooh, my plan. And now that we're seeing the aftermath of the plan, I think it's... Yeah.
I don't think I was ever, like, sick of him just because, like... Kind of in universe, he's just like swanning about being a dumb shit.
Yeah, fair.
Like, it was stupid to have that every episode, but I'm pretty sure it was meant to be stupid. Is this the first time that we've had the like uncombination stock footage for Optimus and Megatron?
I mean, I noticed it. I think we've had it before. I think we've had for Megatron before. Don't quote me on why, but I've definitely noticed reverse combination footage. To some extent before, yeah. But I think it's the first time for Optimus.
Definitely at least the Overload stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a shame, because it's really cool and well animated.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because, like, I don't know how to put it, but obviously you animate the stock footage because it's the cool moment of, like, they're powering up, they're combining, they're whatever. And there's not really a reason why you would want to put, like, narrative importance, like from a cinematographic perspective, on the decombination. But in this episode, I think it works because it is a moment when they've, you know, left their friends on the surface here. They've, you know, made this trip, and now they're going to venture into Unicron, like, you know, on their own pretty much to sort this out.
They just jump straight into Unicron's tractor beam and get sucked up.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell. It is deliberate, I guess, is the idea, but it kind of looks like they just sort of accidentally get sucked in. Don't know what they were planning exactly.
The Street Action team says, like, oh, Optimus and Galvatron won't be able to wake up the Minicon weapons by themselves. We have to go in and help. And the kids go, we can't let you go in alone. We'll go too. And Red Alert goes, okay, yeah, I guess you should be allowed to do something.
Just to check, does that line from the Minicons specifically refer to, like, we need to form Perceptor and go in and help out or something like that? Is Perceptor named?
I don't think so.
Because for some reason, the dub line... is Perceptor is not waking up, is what they say.
Oh.
So, don't really know why they did that.
Yeah, no, they say Mac and the others won't awaken.
But even in a subsequent line, they don't say Perceptor or anything like that. There's no, just isn't mentioned.
It is like, once the Unicron swallows us, we become part of him again and forget who we are.
Cool. Inexplicable.
There's no mention of Perceptor that I can see.
In the dub, I do like the sort of exchange between the kids. Billy's like, we have to stay here, Rad! And Rad goes, no, we don't, Billy. We have to help our friends now. And Carla says, after all, we didn't come all the way to planet Cybertron to just sit back and watch the action. I said, didn't you? That's what you've been doing for the last, like, however many episodes. but hey, I guess we're acknowledging it now. And this beat on its own is good, I think. That It's not fun while you're watching them sit and watch all the stuff, but afterwards it's like, we can reflect on that and say, yeah, like they should that, be doing something.
In Japanese, Carlos says, well, I guess it's not much safer in here than it is inside Unicron. Which is pretty funny.
So we briefly see, around this point, like the Minicons are just like in space. They form like a kind of ghost Unicron?
Yes, the Unicron of Light.
I see. Is he just in this episode, or is he going to like be a guy?
I think he's going to like continue into the next episodes. They're basically just like forming a giant mirror Unicron to hold him in place and stop him from destroying Cybertron immediately.
It's cool. It's neat. It is mysterious. It like plays into their connection. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just kind of like, it's kind of nothing to me.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I'm in favor of the Minicons doing mystic stuff, but. I don't know. I can't really put a label on why I'm not too hot on it.
No, fair.
Inside Unicron, Optimus goes, Galvatron, are you okay? And Galvatron goes, this shit ain't nothing to me, man. I'm a dog. And they get attacked by the dead ends.
The bugs. The laser drones is what they're called in the dub, I think.
Laser pods, apparently.
Laser pods, that's it.
And I mean, to be fair, they don't really look like guys. No. They don't transform into robot mode. And Optimus and Megatron do a cool team-up attack where they just both fire their guns at the same time, and it kind of whips.
Yeah.
The kids and Minicons get teleported inside of Unicron.
Yeah, to be clear, they travel into, I think, the bit on Cybertron where the warp gate was before. They return to there and then reuse it. And this is the same stupid fucking concentric circles warp gate effect that they've already used like twice more than they should have done. I don't understand why they keep bringing it back, but
I mean, I guess they, once they'd established that was what the portal looked like, they were kind of locked into using it,
I guess.
And the tunnels collapse on top of Red Alert, and maybe he's dead, who knows.
Oh no, we'll find out next time.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the last we'll ever see of him.
Yeah, and then he comes back in Cybertron, and it's like, wow, I thought you died.
No, I just became British.
Oh, God.
A fate worse than death.
And we leave off on a cliffhanger as Hotshot leads his little fleet in attacking on Unicron's neck.
Yeah, I really like the montage of all the, like, you know, all of our characters, I guess, like, kind of in their little ships, like, talking to each other and, like...
Yeah, each getting their own line.
Hmm. And Blur's like, this is one crazy team. Like, looking directly into the camera.
What are we, some kind of Suicide Squad?
Literally, though. Oh, dear.
What are we, some kind of Union?
What are we, some kind of Transformers Armada? Like, they literally use like Armada, like in this episode, as a sort of collective noun for their group a bunch of times.
Oh my god, that's really good.
In the dub, which I do love, yeah. I presume it was, you know, conscious, or maybe not, but the amount of times that they say it has to be, yes. This is the Armada of the show, roll the credits. Like,
yeah, I really like this episode. Yeah, I thought it was just a really strong one, with the big focus on Thrust, the kind of questioning of Galvatron.
Yeah, yeah. And the side characterization as well, and just the action of it. It's all good.
And the animation with the lovely sequence of Thrust getting popped like a grape.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Big fan of this one, and whew, two episodes left.
Yeah, and you've got to imagine, hopefully, they're going to be, you know, on a similar level. I think it'll be surprised if it manages to fumble that that badly, I guess. Like,
I mean, this is Armada we're talking about.
Yeah, I guess you never know.
But until then, Wads, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at TheWadapan. You can find all my writing and stuff at wadapan.wordpress.com. What about you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at SJ_Broadside, on Blue Sky at SJBroadside, and you can find a link to my Redbubble account in my pinned tweet if you want to find some of my art and design stuff and buy some cool shirts about Transformers and being gay and transgender.
Buy the merch.
Yeah, buy some shirts about our worlds being in danger.
You can find the podcast at ourworldspod.podbean.com, at ourworldspod on Twitter, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
If you want to know whether Transformers can be good, then why not try asking Vector Prime, the legendary guardian of space and time from Transformers Cybertron? You can find him on Tumblr at askvectorprime.tumblr.com, and if you send him a message, he might respond from beyond the realm of canon.
Why not also hit up the TFWiki Discord server, which you can find by going to tfwiki.net and clicking the Discord icon on the front page.
Our podcast art is by Claudia, who's at Actual Skullgren on Twitter.
And our theme is Transformer Dream Again, English version by Psychic Lover, from their 2018 album Crush and Build.
And don't forget to tune in next time, because something cool might happen. Red Alert become British.
I think that when he got his power links colours, I should have also done that to him. just him. The rest of them get to keep their voices, but he's just inexplicably British now.
God.